Welcome to Comadres y Comics.
This is episode 15, guys. How are you guys doing? We are your hosts. I am Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jennifer.
How are you guys doing?
Yay.
What's going on?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
I am exhausted.
So yeah.
That's because I've been playing Overwatch for the entire day.
Oh, yeah.
The entire day.
And were you playing it the entire night, too?
Maybe. I did play some of it last night, and until they kicked me out of the living room. And then they were like, that's it, like, stop. And then I finally went to sleep. And then as soon as I woke up, I was just like, gotta grind for that XP.
That's right. So right now, how long is this special? So you're playing Overwatch, and right now they are allowing you to get double XP.
Double XP, and today's, well, the 12th is the last day for their anniversary because
okay.
It's been a year since Overwatch officially, like, came
out.
Oh,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Very awesome.
So where have you been, Sarah?
Oh, sorry.
I've been watching Orange is the New Black, so I'm very tired as well. Yeah, I stopped at, I think it was like 1:30. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really should have stopped sooner because my sleeping schedule is like really erratic right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have anything exciting at all. I got a full night's sleep and I feel great.
That's right. You didn't need coffee before.
No.
Right.
Exactly.
So, do you guys have any cool chisme de la semana?
Well, I have chisme de la semana just because we hosted Wonder Woman Day at Heidi Hill Comics.
Yes.
And that was super awesome.
It really was.
The turnout was really great. Everybody was super nice. It was really beautiful to see all these young girls dressed as Wonder Woman.
Yes, and they were so cute.
They were. And a lot of people, like, did the face painting and the lasso toss, and it was really great. And
I totally
agree. I have a little bit of chisme after you're done, and it has to do with your chisme, so keep going.
So I'm really grateful that my brother and my nephew, his son, came down to
yes,
to
they
celebrate.
Were so helpful.
They were, and even though my little nephew, who's 10, was reluctant to go, he said he had a really great time.
Oh, good.
Oh,
yay.
Good
so,
to hear. Yes,
yeah. That part is my favorite part. So we won some comics, and it was just great. It was great fun for the whole family. So if you guys out there ever hear of us hosting an event at Heidi Ho Comics or anywhere else, I really suggest you come down. It's a free event, prizes, and a lot of fun.
So much fun.
Yeah, and then they had little dogs there, too, so it was great. I took my dog, so
yes,
I was like...
Yes, the pet costume contest.
It was great. It was great. You really had to be there, guys. So next time, really, if you're in the neighborhood or maybe plan ahead and head on down to Heidi Ho when we host an event, I promise you, you'll have a great time.
So my cheeseman that is piggybacking on yours is that all the cool pictures that were taken of those adorable little girls who were cosplaying. We had quite a few Wonder Woman cosplays, and then there was a Supergirl. They were all so cute. They were all probably between the ages of like 6 and 10. My husband shared one of the pictures up on social media, and it got picked up by one of the people who were there.
That's right.
Actually,
oh, I saw that, yeah.
Shared it and tagged Patty Jenkins, and so she saw the picture of the little girls, and she commented on it. But yeah, I just see so much positivity out there with the way that this movie has been totally affecting young girls and young boys and adult boys and adult girls world all over the place. So I can't even say enough of how awesome that event was.
And just in case you guys have been living under a rock, Patty Jenkins is the director of Wonder Woman, that movie that's kicking butt in the box office, just so you guys, in case you guys didn't know. But I'm sure you guys knew. I'm sure.
Yeah, it just made $200 million domestic for its second week, which is
That's already amazing.
More than BVS did, which immediately crashed after its opening weekend.
Just hitting on that, it was one of the only superhero movies that didn't have a promotional budget.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, they didn't have one at all?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think they just spent it all on Batman versus Superman. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened. They didn't want to.
Well, we did.
And Suicide Squad.
And Suicide Squad.
Remember, we did say that it got so little advertising.
Yeah, absolutely. Suicide Squad had that very cute Snapchat filter.
I know. That was another pet peeve. I went to go see Wonder Woman twice, and I looked for a Snapchat filter and didn't find one because I totally wanted to pose like Wonder Woman.
Yeah, there was a BVS Snapchat filter, too.
Absolutely, yes. Oh, and that was kind of annoying,
it was annoying.
Because you had to wait to, like, get into armor, and then there was lightning behind you that crashed. That was on the Snapchat filter for Batman versus Superman.
I'm always ready and willing to drag BVS. Sorry, internet friends that I talk to, who I know some of them listen to this podcast and they love BVS, but I don't. I'm sorry, you guys.
Well, let's hear your love for BVS. Comment in the comments and let us know.
Absolutely. I mean, we're open to dialogue about anything. So if you guys have anything that you want to retort, absolutely.
Yes, please.
So that's my chisme. Who else has chisme today?
Oh, go ahead, Jen. What's your chisme?
Well, my chisme is that Lucy Liu was seen at the set of Luke Cage.
Wow.
There is rumors that she is guest starring in one of the episodes, but she could have also been there directing an episode.
That would be great.
Yes. That'd be super cool.
I love Lucy Liu, and I know she directed some episodes for Elementary.
Oh, really?
Okay. So that's why that people were saying that she could be there for either as a guest appearance, and I'm kind of wondering, like, what kind of guest appearance?
Yeah.
Who would she be?
Yeah.
Who are you? Like, I want to know. But also she could be directing, and I'm also super excited for that because she did some pretty good episodes for Elementary.
Ooh, I've always wanted to go back. When that show first started out, I watched the first couple, and I really liked them.
She made an amazing Joan Watson.
Yes. So I've always wanted to go back. So you putting that back in my mind, I'm going to have to go back and try to catch up on that series.
And following up on that, there are pictures of a kiss between Luke Cage and Claire Temple. So I'm kind of wondering if this is what the relationship that they're going to be going with in the Luke Cage instead of...
I don't know. I have feelings about that.
Instead of Luke Cage and Jessica. I have feelings about that, too, because I love Danielle Cage, which is the comic book daughter of Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. But I'm also like, Luke Cage and Claire Temple are so cute. Like,
they are.
Damn, that's a power couple right there.
Not power couple, but
cute couple. Power couple would be Luke Cage and Jessica Jones.
Yes, absolutely.
But, like, cute factor is Claire Temple and Luke Cage. But
well, they could have a fling. I'm not mad at that.
they could have a fling, yes. She could move on to somebody else.
I don't know what the... In the TV show, obviously there's a lot of conflict between Luke and Jessica because of the fact that his previous wife died directly. There's a direct correlation to Jessica, and so I think that's a lot to get over. I don't know, is that true to the comic book story?
You know what? I don't. No. Remember, because we read Alias.
Yes.
Elias.
Uh-huh. Alias.
Alias. For our comic book club. And he had a relationship with another woman. And Jessica was kind of like a side piece.
Right.
That later developed into something else when he broke up with his previous girlfriend,
love interest.
It was
so long ago, I don't even remember this.
Yeah, it was it was, I don't know if it was a girlfriend or just friends with benefits kind of thing.
Gotcha, yeah.
But that's how I believe it developed in Elias. It's been a while, like you said. But in the Netflix series, yeah, it's a lot more, it's a lot more serious.
Right, yeah. Definitely. Well, I guess I'm really not mad at it either, but I just have so many feelings about Jessica Jones Luke Cage pairing. So
yeah, it's true,
I guess
it's
we'll
true.
Wait to see.
And then Danielle Cage, I want Danielle.
She's so cute.
She's adorable.
Well, I mean, you know, they hooked up in Jessica Jones, so I'm eager to see them full on romance. So
true.
I mean, that sex scene was, like, powerful for me.
Yeah.
I mean, the relationship.
Yeah.
Like, really rough.
If any of you are reading the Jessica Jones series, comic book series that's out right now, definitely the relationship that she has with Luke. Yeah, they're married, but there's a lot of just strife that's going on. And it's explained in the actual series, and there is a reveal. But I just feel like that is one relationship that it's never been smooth. There's always been... I mean, she has so many demons, and he does too. So
there's that one couple who's like, fights is their relationship or something like that? Not exactly, but, like, not fights, but arguments.
Yeah. Yeah, and sort of, like, that's their, what is it called? Foreplay. Like, you know, the fighting is the foreplay. Yeah.
I feel like they, definitely there is a little bit of that in the relationship, but I also feel like, especially for Jessica, that Luke kind of grounds her a little bit. Mm-hmm. He really has a big heart. I mean, when you see just the way that he is written and portrayed in a lot of the different series that he's in, he does. He has a really big heart, and he always wants to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica is just really she has a lot, like I said, a lot of demons, and she has a lot of inner struggle. And I think that he definitely sees that, and he tries to help her. And the thing about that is that unlike so many other people, she actually lets him.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
True. But yeah, I get your conflicting emotions, because I like Colleen in Immortal Iron
Yes.
Fist,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't really so sure about her relationship with Danny, because
yeah.
I'm invested in Danny and Misty Knight
yes.
from the comic
yes,
books.
Yes, me
like,
too.
Yeah. Like that's I want that to happen.
Yes.
Like, and I know her and Luke Cage, that the first episode we get a one night stand between
right.
Misty Knight and Luke Cage, which was nice. but it was immediately established that it's not going to
yeah.
be like a permanent
yeah.
thing. It
oh,
was a one
okay.
night stand.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to see that. I want to see Misty Knight and Danny Rand.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think she'd break him in the series. I don't know.
Emotionally?
hey, she might do it literally. And I want to know if she's ever going to get her metal arm.
I know. I was thinking the same. I thought that's what was going to happen
yeah.
in the series in Luke Cage when she was handcuffed. I thought that was kind of like the preface to that, but...
It might be like a little hint, like
hey, yeah. It was probably just like a little like yeah homage to that.
Yeah, true. But that would be kind of not exactly weird, but kind of hard to work.
I was gonna say I probably that's one of the reasons why Robert Kirkman has said, and not that he would ever change his mind, but in the past has said that he would not go with the cutting off of Rick Grimes' hand in the TV show, because in the comic book it's so much easier to just draw, but in the TV show that brings about a whole bunch of CGI and a whole bunch of other problems that could drive up not the cost as well.
Yeah,
so
right
for Captain America, the Winter Soldier, I'm pretty sure half the cost went into Bucky Barnes' arm.
of course, yeah.
That was some pretty sweet CGI that
yeah.
they did for it, but that was, like, expensive.
Yeah.
That's very expensive, especially to, like, make it seem, like, that good and that kind of realistic.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, and I don't know if Netflix... I mean, they canceled Sense8 because it was too expensive. But Marvel,
is that why?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. And it was too expensive, and they weren't seeing enough of, whatchamacallit, response to it, like a viewership to it. Mm. And they were like, no, we're not going to do it.
Well, now it's on everybody's radar. So right, maybe, exactly. Because even I had a friend, I've had multiple friends telling me, you need to watch this, you need to watch this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, isn't that the one that just got canceled?
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that sucks. I hate to see good series be canceled because people didn't jump on quick enough.
Well, yeah. Isn't that what happened with Twin Peaks? Like, years later, they're going to come out with some new episodes. I mean, Twin Peaks also, I think it was canceled. Like on the first or second season?
Yeah.
I believe the second season.
And then it just really developed a cult following.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And then now it's back.
Now it's back.
See, I mean, I guess, you know, there's hope for anything. As, you know, if there's enough of a following, they'll bring it back.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought Heroes back, too. I mean, it didn't survive, but they did bring it back.
Oh, and I was all about it,
me too.
I watched Heroes to the bitter end.
Me, too.
I liked season one. Season two is... Yeah.
Once I start watching a series, they could, I don't know.
Throw the kitchen sink.
Yes, and I also watched Lost to the end.
Oh, yeah.
I watched Prison Break to the end.
Well, Prison Break is still ongoing.
Well, no, Prison Break got brought back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. All right, so my chisme is San Diego Comic-Con related. I'm sure that if you go to Comic-Con, you have friends that tell you, hey,
can you bring me this?
Can you stop by this? They have this exclusive at this booth, and all I want is like five of them. Well, one of the most popular booths at Comic-Con is the Funko Pop booth. And it was just released on their website and some other of their message boards that they are not going to have a public lottery for preview night. For preview night, they've already given away the tickets on their I can't remember what it's their Funko fan message board or website or something. They've already given them away, and people should be starting to receive their emails pretty soon if they haven't already. So if you know anything about San Diego Comic-Con, you know that it is a massive influx of millions of people that are there. A lot of people are there for the exclusives. But if you have the opportunity to go to preview night, which is Wednesday night, there is a lot less of a crowd, and your chances of getting the things that you want are usually higher that day.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that there isn't a public lottery is because usually how they do it is you go to the sales pavilion, you put your name in for a lottery to get picked, and then they pick your number, and then you go stand in line. And this year for preview night, that's not how they're going to do it. There was a statement made by Yoko McCann, who is Funko's marketing manager, that said did confirm that they already held the lottery. Fanatics, that's what the board was called, the Fun Addicts. But anyway, they already held the lottery, but if they already go through all of those winners on preview night, if there are items that are still available after those lottery winners go through, that the booth will most likely, quote unquote, open to the public, time permitting. So preview night is it's like 5 to 9. It's like super short, like 4 hours or something like that. So it is, time permitting, it is, pretty much, a kind of like, I think, an out for them to say like, well, we were going to do it, but time ran out. But anyway, that is some chisme for, those of you fun addicts out there. I keep waiting for the Funko Pop
bubble to burst, and it just has not done it. They just keep getting more and more popular. So if you're looking to get those exclusives at San Diego Comic-Con, it looks like if you haven't already entered that Fanatics lottery, you might be stuck standing in the sales pavilion at like 4:30 in the morning to try to get in Thursday through Sunday. So good luck.
Good luck. You know, speaking of that, I think the reason Funko is still so prevalent is because they keep making stuff from what they was it they originally started, like, what, like superhero stuff? Like, maybe like comic book based?
I don't even know. That's kind of an interesting question, like, of where they did start. What they started with.
What did they say? Sarah, you said that before they did, like, actual Funko Pops, they did some...
Well, those are Mighty Mugs, and I think, but I don't know if they're Funko associated with Funko. I just know that when Funko came into the picture, they stopped making them.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, and they were made out of recycled plastic. Cool stuff.
So, I'm pretty sure that they started, like, Funko itself started with, like, major stuff, like maybe like Batman, Superman, like popular, like, superhero stuff. But now they do television.
Everything.
They do, like, they've done, like, the reality TV. They've done movies. They've done, like, old classic films. They've really, really
music.
Sports heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, music. Mm-hmm. They did some Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses. Amy Winehouse.
Motorhead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Like, it's, like, so many. Like, in... Once you see them, and, like, there's something of an appeal to them, too. Yeah. They're so fucking cute.
Yeah.
Like, especially for, like, somebody like me, once I see something that's cute, I gotta buy it.
Right,
like,
right.
I've learned to control it since when I first started actually making money, and I was just like, holy shit, I have money now. And I need to spend it all. But they're very, very cute, and they keep doing, because they just announced a Kamala Khan pop figure. And as soon as I saw it, I was just like, that's it, I need 5.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not going to buy 5, but I really, really want that. And that's why I think they still have an appeal, is they keep making stuff that people like.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And they are. They are super cute. They did try their hand at the smaller Dorbs, D-O-R-B-Z, which is short for adorable, which just did not take off. And I really think it had to do with the fact that they weren't as cute as the Pops, but also the price point was not that much cheaper than a Pop.
Yeah, and it was a lot smaller.
And it's a lot smaller, and it wasn't really Dorbs.
Yeah,
there are some that are.
There,
like,
were a few.
My Deadpool beloved one. Deadpool is amazingly adorable. Mm-hmm. But, a lot of them were just really weird looking.
Yeah, they were kind of ugly. The Harley one was very nice.
Harley was cute.
And that's the one that we constantly kept selling.
Yeah.
But the Batman one wasn't so hot.
No.
And neither was the Robin one.
Yeah.
And, like, there wasn't as much of a big an appeal to it. And like you said, the price between the Dorbs and one of the Funko Pops was like $2-$3, and I would rather spend my money on a Dorb, on a Funko Pop, than a Dorb.
Yeah, they're both made by Funko, but definitely, I think that the Pops have a bigger appeal because of their size and their price, and you can always find a good deal. I see them on sale all the time at Hot Topic. I see them at Walmart.
Absolutely.
I see them at Target. Mm-hmm. I see them all over the place.
I've seen them on Amazon Prime, too.
Yeah, I see them in stores, and I'm like, they sell Pops here now? Disneyland is full of Pops now.
Wow.
So, like, kudos to Funko. You're ruling the world.
They're taking over, guys.
What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss a nugget.
Beer.
I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse it.
Beer.
I could really use a beer.
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 Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer. Beer.
This week's beer is from Firestone Brewery. And it comes in a cute little box. And very, very fancy looking box. And the fancy box goes right along with its fancy name, which is Sticky Monkey.
Sounds like a sex move.
This is Barrel Age Central Coast Quad. And basically, this beer was, I guess back in the fall of 2006, Firestone embarked on this program where they made a barrel age series of vintage strong ales that they were going to use as the base components for other blended beers. And that's where this this Sticky Monkey comes from. It's 2017 beer, and it's a barrel age quad. The back of the box basically describes it as, turbinado brown sugar from Mexico adds wonderful molasses flavors that are reminiscent of Belgian candy sugar. It has a full body and lush texture with barrel expressions all over. And you know, I love me some barrel aged beer.
Absolutely.
It's toasted oak, coconut, leather, and rich cigar tobacco.
What?
Yeah, it says this Central Coast Quad is a one-of-a-kind sipping beer, girls. Do not guzzle. It's a sipping beer.
Oh, no.
Built to last, and we will reward careful aging for years to come. So if you buy this beer and you don't want to drink it right away and you do want to age it, it is recommended that you store it in a cellar between 45 and 55 degrees Fahrenheit.
Which is why I think it comes in a box, because that way the no light, in case you don't have a cellar, then you could just put it under your bed and leave it in the box.
And it doesn't say on the box, but I think it said on the bottle what the ABV was. What was it again?
12.5 alcohol by volume.
So, hence the sipping beer. 12.5 ABV. I mean, a half of this bottle, and I'm already going to be yawning and wanting to go to sleep. So,
I've had sake with less ABV than that.
I gotta say the label is very sexy. It's very chic.
It is.
Oh, it is.
Well,
it is.
It says Sticky Monkey Vintage, and that label definitely is vintage looking.
Mm-hmm. And we got number 4. I don't know if that means anything, but it's a very sexy label. It's very, I don't know. It looks very elegant. Maybe. You know, just really, really nice.
We'll take a picture of the bottle and the box and put it up on our social media so that you guys can take a look at it. But, it is 12 fluid ounces and definitely 12 ounces of all beer that will punch you in the face.
And when you take the top off, it actually has a little message in it. And it says,
oh, really?
Lions, bears, and beers. Oh, my.
Oh, I'm keeping that. That's cool. I'm going to make it into one of those, what are they called? Magnets for your refrigerator. This is really cool. I'm going to take a picture of that, too.
And for those of you who are interested in the type of yeast that is being used in your beer, because some people have their favorites. This one is pretty super cool. It's Lucha Libre.
Oh! What? Very thematic.
Yes.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, let's take a sip.
Okay. And let me just say, before I drink it, that when Sarah opened the bottle, we're sitting at a round table, and as soon as she opened it, I could smell the aroma of this beer. And it smelled like a strong bourbon or whiskey or
something.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
So as I am swirling it in my my goblet, the smell is just so strong. It's making my mouth water.
I'm going to start because
okay.
I'm seriously.
All I have to say, before either of you start, this is Kristen, I haven't drank it yet. Both Sarah and Jen drank the beer, and the looks on their faces, children, close your ears. I think they both just had orgasms at the
Absolutely.
Table.
Oh, my God. You are
an
not.
Orgasm in my mouth. Holy shit.
Yes. Now that has a lot of implications.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, let me just say, if cum tasted this good, I would be sucking dick.
Right? Thank you. Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. You just hit the nail on the head. This is exactly right. You got to try it, Kristen. I'm serious. This thing is, like, out of control.
Oh, my gosh. I could just smell this thing all day. Every time I breathe in it, my mouth waters. It smells so good.
I'm going to go ahead and start because this is I have so much to say about this. First of all, I was listening to Kristen explain
wow.
it.
Wow.
Exactly.
We weren't the only ones with
wow.
the orgasm face.
Yes. And I could feel my face is getting a little warm from the nose out. I could feel that. But for me, I'm just going to go right into it because I'm very excited. I was a little bit...
Oh, my gosh. It's so good. I know.
It really is, guys.
First of all, where did you get this from? Because I'm going right
case.
Now.
Holy shit.
It's Costco, guys.
Costco.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
And I'm so kicking myself for not getting more. Because this is delicious.
It's so good.
It is. Look, I know. You know what? I was very tired. Like I said, I was hung. I was kind of awake for most of the morning this morning. So, I'm really tired. But I was real when I smelled it. It was so strong. Like she said, it smelled like bourbon. So I was like a little scared
mm-hmm.
and apprehensive. I was like, oh my god, this is gonna F me up. And then I was listening to her talk about the flavors, but I was half paying attention because I was writing some stuff down. And I have to say, this beer, nothing really stands out. Everything is perfectly mixed. It's a perfect mixture of flavors. It's amazing. And when you drink it, you think it's going to be strong, and you're kind of almost like, I was
yes,
apprehensive.
I did. I was
yeah.
afraid.
I was very afraid. I was kind of like piercing my lips like this, drinking uh-huh. it. Like I didn't want it to go like too crazy. But as soon as it hit my tongue, it was like so smooth.
Yes, very smooth.
And so flavorful, but not in the sense that it wasn't too sugary or anything. It was just right. And the fact that we let it sit for a little bit, mm-hmm. I think that really helped.
I think that did help, yeah.
Because this one, I do not feel you should drink it straight out of the refrigerator. I think yeah. this one, you let it sit for a little bit. And I am in love with this brew.
So,
I am in love with it.
To me, actually, the Turbinado brown sugar really stands
yeah,
out to me.
Out.
And the box describes it perfectly, that it adds this thick molasses flavor. And that's exactly what I taste is, it's just so, like, I can't even, like,
but the cool thing about that is, like, when I hear molasses, I think sugary, but it's not sugary.
Well, to me, it's very sweet. I'm somebody who does not like sweet beers. I'll drink a Shandy and maybe have a couple of sips and I'm over it. I think I've mentioned before that I don't like those, what are those ones that you drink? The
ciders?
The ciders, yes.
Yeah.
I don't like the ciders. And this, to me, is very sweet. But it does not turn me off at all. The beer, the strong beer taste is still there. And it is a quad. The barrel age taste of it is just so
superb.
It's very smoky, mm-hmm. and it does say on the box that rich cigar tobacco. Yes, it's very smoky in my mouth. That mm-hmm. there's a smoky molasses, and even like when you poured it, you said, "Oh my gosh, it's so
very thick."
Yeah,
very thick. Another thing that I noticed is that there's almost no carbonation.
Yeah, it's very low,
very low. Mm-hmm. And it's just spectacular. This. I would marry this beer. Seriously, it is so good.
I would, yes, this beer, the whole bottle, I mean, I know it's a 12.5, but yes, it is a sipping beer. I could just...
All day
sip on this thing. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I think I really strongly recommend that if you do get this, you do pour it into a glass.
Yes.
I think it's one of those that mm-hmm. you let it sit and you sip it through. You don't want to chug it from a bottle.
Not at all.
So,
you're going to make love to this beer.
Absolutely.
As you're drinking it.
I agree. Strongly agree. Any thoughts for you, Jen, on this?
Well, definitely. I definitely do taste that molasses flavor, and I really, really like that after that, that taste of the smoky taste, that like cigar, the cigarillo taste, because it feels it honestly makes my throat feel a little better.
Oh yeah, because you're sick.
I am a little bit sick, but I'm getting better. I'm not coughing a lot anymore, and it tastes so good, and it feels so smooth going down. I feel like if it was just super sweet, it would be a cider. Mm-hmm. But it isn't. That smoky aftertaste really, like, hammers down, like, the sense of, of beer. Mm-hmm. That this is like, a really good beer.
For me, I feel... I know you guys were focusing on the sweet. For me, I taste more of the bitters. I'm more... I can feel more of the bitters in this brew, which is weird. But maybe, like, chocolatey kind of bitter. Like, I don't know. But that's more of what I get than the sweetness. Like, that, for me, overpowers the sweetness.
So, an interesting thing that the box says is that this barrel-aged quad evolves. And there's a different face each year as it ages. It changes and evolves. On the bottle, there's actually the number of cases that were made, because it was a finite brew. There were only 9,500 cases produced. So I say that we get into our cars right now and go to Costco.
Let's
Absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely. I agree.
Right now. What time do they close? We need to make it.
I think they're already closed, but tomorrow. First thing. So, are we ready to rate it?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
You know what? That's it. It's finally, this is the
Super
Saiyan.
This is it.
This is the Super Saiyan.
This is the Super Saiyan for me too.
Yeah, for me too, Super Saiyan.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So ladies, we're definitely going full Super Saiyan on this.
Yes.
Alright guys, and as promised, we went to East LA Comic Con. I know we already talked about this, so we don't really have to talk about the event whatsoever, but we did pick up 3 more comic books there that we are going to review
today. And I totally left them somewhere.
So we are going full on Super Saiyan on this brew. Definitely.
Full on.
I mean, it's crazy. But, actually, I got this at the Torrance Costco, so if you guys are in the area, in the South Bay area, Torrance Costco on Sky Park has this brew as of the last time I went, and I'm going to actually, if I can, pick 2 of them up, one for my husband and one for my brother for Father's Day. So if you guys are looking for a Father's Day present, this is it.
And I'm going to rush out and buy them all before you guys hear this episode.
So if there's no more, we went and bought them all out.
Can I catch a ride? Because I'm buying the case.
Nice.
Oh, just as a aside, do you remember how much it cost?
Yes, it was about between 10 and 11. I can't remember.
For this one tiny little bottle?
Yeah.
Worth it.
Totally worth it. I know. I was apprehensive because of the price, and the bottle is like a regular bottle size of a regular brew.
Yeah.
But then I saw it was 12%, and I thought, well, let's give it a chance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, Meg, I'm glad we did.
And, you know, and before... While we had another beer that we were choosing between, and when I saw this one, I said, you know what? I'm not generally a fan of Firestone beers.
Me neither.
They just really do not register with me as something that I like. Anytime I try one, and don't even try to tell me about 405.
I think it's 805.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. 805.
That's how much you don't like it.
Yeah. No, I don't like it either.
Yes, it's horrible.
Yeah, and they also have those at Costco canned, I think 24-pack, and I bought them once, and I was like, God, can somebody drink these? Because I made a mistake in buying these.
So I was at first apprehensive, but the box sold me. I was like, I'm super, super interested and curious about what's inside this box. So yeah. I'm so glad we did.
Yeah, they totally did a great job with the packaging, because that's actually what... that's why I was so like, oh, I wonder what this is. Even though it said Firestone, I was like, oh, this box is pretty interesting. So definitely, guys, pick it up. All right, guys, as you guys know, we went to East LA Comic Con and we picked up some books at the convention from Latino artists and writers.
Yes, we did. I was super, super happy to go around and meet a lot of these artists that were there, because I really wanted to be able to highlight a lot of the smaller, smaller printings is what I meant to say.
I don't know. You can say Hispanics are pretty small. Except me. I'm above average.
For you, you're a giant. But yeah, so I was excited to meet a lot of people who don't necessarily get the opportunity to publish through big publishing houses like Marvel, DC, or even Image, or you know, some of those other big ones. So there were a lot of people there who self-published, and a lot of people who actually had books that they were trying to disseminate through Kickstarter and that kind of thing. So we have three more books that we wanted to talk about today to just give a little bit of support to some of the other creators that we met that day.
Absolutely. So we should start.
Yep.
We're going to start with Shadow People. The Shadow People Are Here by Nathaniel Osoyo. That's again Nathaniel Osoyo. This, should we just go right into it?
Yeah, actually, before you start, I think it's worth mentioning that his website is idraw.com. Now, it is idraw, EYEDRAUGH.com. I thought that was so clever.
Yeah. Didn't he do...
Yeah, he did he did my picture. Yeah,
he did yes, picture. He also did my Thanos sketch.
Oh, that's right. You're a really nice one.
Yes. So I am, I'm super happy with my Thanos sketch cover, and I'm excited to add it to my collection. But this was a book that he had for sale there that he self-published, and when I read it, when I read the back of it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so exciting. The back of it, the little description says, "They say that when you are feeling bad, that's when the shadow people come. People say that when you are feeling the most sad, that's when the shadow people come. So some even say that it doesn't take long for them to get near because the shadow people are already here."
That is so cool. Just that alone, you're like, it totally captivates you. And yes. I like the fact that it rhymes.
Yes. So when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm all about this. I'm so excited to read it. I thought it was going to be like a real, like, grippy horror tale or something. Mm-hmm. So, when I read it, much to my surprise, it wasn't that at all. The way that it read to me when I first read it was kind of, and I don't know if this is what Nathaniel intended, but it kind of seemed more of like a kid's book.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Like a kid's book or like a kid's beginners to horror.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, that's okay. That's a good idea.
So my disclaimer is that the first time I read this, I was super, super underwhelmed by it. Because I was like,
I have to say the same.
I was like, meh, whatever. Like,
it's cute.
It's cute.
I have to say, though, I really like his use of watercolor.
I was just going
to
say the exact same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say the exact same thing. The art is super simplistic in that the main character, Reese, it's just kind of like and his parents are kind of just like, if you can just imagine, the old timey ghosts where it's just a person in a sheet.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what they look like.
Exactly.
With two little eye holes.
and limbs.
And yes, and they have limbs. But yeah, even though the, Reese and his parents, and that's parents with a capital P, that they're referred to in the book, are very basic. The watercolor and the colors of the watercolor art behind it is just really awesome and
yes,
cool.
Yes, I loved it.
So,
I was a little jealous of the way he was able to, like, graduate the color within the watercolor.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed the artwork.
So, I read the book, and then I went back and noticed that there was a note in the front that said, "This book utilizes augmented reality. This means that there is digital content in the story that can be seen with a smartphone or tablet." So I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I have an iPhone 5C that still runs on iOS 7, which I was unable to download. So when we came into our one of our podcasts a few weeks ago, Jan had downloaded it, and I reread the story with the augmented reality. And I have to say, oh, my God, it was a completely different story. And definitely, it was freaking amazing. Just that additional little, the shadow people become characters in the book, not just something that Reese is referring to. And I loved it. It was, and honestly, it was creepy as fuck.
It was very creepy. Now, the app that is used for this is called Orozma, and I do recommend that you have space on your phone.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Or if you don't, delete some stuff, delete some photos, cherish photos, and download that, because it very much does change the experience. I read it with the app already, and so I remember you telling me that you thought this was a kid's book, and I was just kind of like,
what the really? Heck are you talking about?
Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that? But I'll upload a screenshot later on of the cover. But even when you use the Orozma app, the front cover itself has a creepy figure looming that, like, it goes out of the page.
Yeah.
Yes. And it makes it seem so ominous.
Yeah.
And it's very creepy. And the shadow people have gradients of color. You can tell that he did use watercolor for that. I don't know exactly how the Orozma app works into, like, uploading stuff like that, but that was really super cool, and I was just like, this is creepy.
Yeah.
And I love it. I did like it. And I'm very much a proponent of horror for kids, and then people are like, oh my god, no. Like, no, it's like kids are creepy as shit.
Yes,
like,
they are. I was reading Stephen King in sixth grade.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
And, like, Through the Woods is definitely super creepy, and it's not like a gore fest, but it's super creepy, and it is a great kids horror story.
Yes, if you're looking for horror, creepiness stories, it's an anthology of I don't know how many stories, I would say maybe four?
Five. I think five.
But Through the Woods, and it, I can't remember who the writer is, it's all the same writer. First time I read it, I mean, it was actually one of the stories I had read online that it had been, shared multiple times a few years ago on social media. So when I read it in the book, I was like, oh, I'm familiar with this. Mm-hmm. And then just the other stories were so good. I highly recommend it for adults and I would say, what, like 8 and older?
Yeah, pretty much 8 and older.
Like Kristen said, when I first read it, I was like a little underwhelmed, like you said. I appreciated the wording and how it rhymed. But then I came in to the podcast, and then Jen showed me, because I downloaded the app. But like an idiot, I didn't follow the instructions. So I'm pointing at the pages. I'm like, it's not working. Anyway, Jen taught me how to use it. And then after that, the story completely changed for me. Mm-hmm. It was automatically like, it just shot up like 10 points for me.
Yeah.
Because just the imagery of the shadow people was just excellent. It's a great, it engages you in such a way.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. I would love to show my nephew.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Oh, I definitely think kids would love this, because kids love creepy stuff.
Yeah. And not only that, they're technically savvy too. Most of them have iPads or pads or whatever they're called, smart thingies.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have a phone, but they have some kind of tablet sort.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I would love to read any other feature books he comes out with. If this is like the style he's going to go into, I love it. Love it.
Yeah, and I was telling Jen that I reread it today without the augmented reality, but just to kind of remind myself about the story. And it hadn't struck me the first time. But today it actually struck me the parallels of these shadow people and the kukui of Latino Latino background folklore. I think every Latino kid has been told by parents, if you don't do such and such, the kukui is going to get you. Now, who tells their kids that? That it's, I mean, I guess it's parallel to the boogeyman. But but yeah, so
I just feel that el cucuy is much creepier than the boogeyman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, did we ever really even get a description?
No, that's what made it
creepier. We didn't know. And whatchamacallit, I remember as a kid, my mom would always like, never be any place alone, or the cuckoo's gonna get you. And it's like,
we don't even know what he looks like. No.
And when
anybody
you,
can be el cuckoo.
Anybody can be. And I think that's what they, that was what it was intended. Yeah. As with most folklore, there's a reason behind it. Like kind of as a form of warning and establishing rules that children don't understand, like don't talk to strangers.
Yes.
Instead of don't talk to strangers, like, oh no, that person is el cuckoo.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I want to go to my mom.
Because we've been, since the crib, we are conditioned as Latinos that the cucuy is something to be afraid of. So
yeah.
when it's attached to something, that you know that you need to get somewhere safe. But like about four pages in, Reese, the little kid, is having a kind of a meltdown and is like, creating a big mess, and the parents tell him, go to your room and think about what you've done. If you don't start behaving, the shadow people will come and get you. And that was when I was like, oh my gosh, my mom used to always tell me about el cucuy, and always I was like so scared. I didn't know what the heck it was. I know that it just sounded super scary.
Yeah.
And if it was gonna get me, obviously that was nothing good.
right
Yeah.
Exactly. When maybe that's where, I wonder if that's where the actual story kind of maybe was born from like the cuckoo stories or something.
Well, and in this, the cool thing about it though, that I actually enjoyed also is that Reese ends up befriending shadow people.
That's right.
And starts playing with them and actually enjoying spending time with them. And so the book actually kind of evolves into not so much of a scary story, except for the fact that the augmented reality still shows them as super
scary,
super scary and creepy. That also was kind of cool because in the beginning, they're using the shadow people to scare him, but then he's like, "Oh, they're just like they're fun, they're friends." And my favorite page is where when you just look at the page, Reese is kind of like floating up in the air and like kind of waving. And when I just looked at this without the augmented reality, I was like, okay, like because he's he looks like a sheet, or a ghost, I thought he was just floating up there because he was a ghost.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But
right.
When you look at it through the augmented reality, actually one of the shadow people is holding him in his hand.
Right.
And it's so creepy. So creepy, but also so cool because they're playing.
Right. And another thing I liked about this book, I'm sorry to cut you off, was the fact that it also teaches a lesson to not be so mean.
Yes.
And actually you have to apologize for some of your actions that may not be very nice at all.
Because Reese, when he gets in trouble in the beginning, it's because it says that he had a problem, he got a little rough and screamed, got a little rough and caused quite a commotion. And that's why he got in trouble in the beginning. And then at the end, or more towards the middle, Reese is playing with the shadow people, and it says he causes quite a commotion and plays a little too rough. And so he ends up hurting one of the shadow people. Mm-hmm. And the shadow people actually ask, the shadow person asks Reese to say sorry, and he won't.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the shadow people leave and won't play with him anymore. So you're absolutely right. There's a story,
a message
here to the kids that, you know, yeah, mistakes happen and you might do things that you don't mean to, but even if you don't mean to, really an apology is worth something to the person that that was on the receiving end of you not being nice.
Definitely, and actions have consequences.
Yes.
No matter how much you don't think, that it's a big deal or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like I said, my first time I read this, I was like, eh, well, it's okay. Whatever. It wasn't what I expected. But if you do the full Shadow People Are Here experience with the augmented reality, it is really, really amazing. And I would highly recommend you reading it with your kids, as long as they're not too easily scared. Because there are some messages and I think some lessons to really be taught with the book.
Absolutely.
Better you can read it to them without the augmented reality.
Yeah.
And then as they grow older and they get rough and they get rougher, then show them the augmented reality.
Because it really and is
scare
creepy.
The crap yeah. out of,
scare yeah. them into submission.
I think this book gives on different levels.
Yeah.
So, no, I totally enjoyed it. And like you said, the facts that you touched on were absolutely the same things that I loved about this book.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do we want to do our ratings after each book or at the end?
We'll rate it right now.
Okay, yeah, let's go ahead. Yeah. So the first time I read this book, I would have given it a 2 concha rating.
Agreed.
But with the augmented reality, it definitely earned my 3 conchas.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Agreed. I concur with you. Definitely. Yes, I was underwhelmed, like you said. So 2 conchas for me, although I really love the watercolor. But once with the augmented reality yeah. hit, I was just like, I mean, I think I might have, like, gasped.
Yes.
Like, out loud.
Yes.
I was like, this is wonderful.
Uh-huh.
Because I love, you know, horror as well. So this was awesome for
yeah.
me. This,
yeah.
This is, like, something that if I saw him again and I saw this book, I'd have him, like sign it to my children if I ever have them.
Yeah.
But that would be something that I would, you know, I would definitely read my kids.
Yeah. For sure. Jen?
3 conchas.
Yeah.
Ow. Snap. my bad.
Awesome. So that's 3 conchas all around, guys. Next on our list is Samurachi.
I can't say it.
Samurachi.
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 I'm not gonna lie. When I first picked this up, I am a Naruto weeb.
A what?
It's a term, but basically, let's just say that Naruto is a long-standing anime that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I hear what you said, but I didn't understand it at first.
Yeah. And when I read this, I read it as Samurai Itachi, and I was just like, what the fuck? And then I was like, oh no, it's Samurai Yachi. Okay, and I was just like, and I was like, it confused me for a bit. I was just like, well, he doesn't look like Itachi, but but after a closer inspection, I realized that it wasn't Itachi and that it was actually an original take on something.
So it's Samurai Yachi by Mark Martinez.
Yes. So I chose. Let me grab it over here. I chose this book based solely on this front cover.
The front cover looks awesome.
I love this front cover. And then
even the font of Samurachi is awesome.
And then when I asked Mark about it, he's like, yes, he's a mariachi samurai. I'm like, oh my God.
Amazing.
Yes.
Solid.
That is amazing. And just his the way that his sombrero is just over
tilted.
His eyes mm-hmm. and tilted, and all you see is his big mustache and his long greasy stringy hair. It was just I had to read it. I was so excited to read it. So I picked this solely based on the front cover.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it grabbed me when it said, every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. And that's a quote by Oscar
yeah,
Wilde.
Oscar Wilde.
And then there was like a little narration where it explains that it's kind of set in the future. The date
yes.
is May 20th, 2517. And the planet is called LA, Planet LA. It's a settlement of 426 people. Settlement called Rosa Roja. So Rosa Roja.
Red Rose.
Yeah, Red Rose. The main character is Juan Jose Samurachi. I keep saying it wrong. Samurachi. Yes. It's a futuristic setting.
which I thought was kind of a very innovative idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really liked that in the setting, and actually the first issue shows us a bar scene or a saloon scene where there are several different kind of like robots. And so the way I would explain this, the setting is that it's sort of like the bar that Luke and Ben Kenobi walk into.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, where Guido shot second.
Han shot first, you guys.
Yes, Han. So that's what I would describe the first issue as being. We're left with questions on the character, the main character's past, but we sure know that there is a past. There is kind of like a setup. So where we know that there's something going on, something has gone down, and we are in, I guess, for the next installments to find out what that is.
Yeah, there is a foil. Jean-Baptiste is basically, it looks, that what I got from the story is he's the one, and he is, it looks like half human, half
like machine?
Machine.
A cyborg.
Yeah,
cyborg.
Kind of. So, and he is, it turns out, searching for our protagonist. And I really, I read it this one again today, too. And I really am interested to see where it goes, because at the end of this story, it's a little bit of a cliffhanger where our Samuriachi kind of is shown walking into the sunset, and the cyborg is lying on the ground and says, "We're coming for you." But then it says, "No cyborgs this time. You think you're bad? I know I'm bad, hombre." So I want to know what that means.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
He obviously is half and half, but if he's saying no cyborgs this time, what does that mean?
Exactly. No, I agree with that. I mean, it definitely hooks you in with kind of like a vague idea of these characters' backstory.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm left kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah. I think definitely this was a good set up to a second and maybe third issue. I'm sure that Mark has the story already devolved in his head and he knows where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
But I really wanted to know more. I mean, I guess they say that's what a good first issue does, leaves you wanting more.
Mm-hmm.
So what I will say is that you all know that I'm a reader and I don't necessarily look at the art. But when I went back and looked at it, it definitely, I mean, this is a self-published, book, and it's all black and white. I'll get lots of boos for this, but I don't even like black and white movies.
Boo.
No boos for me.
What about Pie, guys? Pie, that movie Pie, it's so good.
I never saw Pie.
Oh my God, so good.
Life
so good,
pie?
Guys. No, Pie, just Pie. It's the little, the little sticks
the little
with the little
pie.
Onion,
uh-huh.
Where the little onion. You got to see that. Also, Memento, guys. Memento.
Never saw that either.
Oh,
never
Lord. That what am I doing here?
The only black and white one I'll ever see is the Logan one. In black
oh,
and white.
Yeah. I kind of was interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
watch it, too.
That's
yeah.
as far as
yeah.
I
no,
go.
Okay. So when I forced to watch black and white movies, I usually end up enjoying them. Mm-hmm.
Did you just go?
Oh no, that was me. That was me clearing my throat. Sorry, I didn't mean it.
She's growling at me.
No, I was clearing my throat. I swear to God.
Because my roommate in college loved watching old movies. My husband loves watching old movies. Most of which, when he asks me about them, I've never watched because I have this thing against black and white movies. Anyway, that leads me. And the funny thing is, ironically, my as you guys know, my gateway comic was Walking Dead, which is completely in black and white.
That's yeah. so crazy. See what happens when you go outside your comfort zone?
But definitely, yeah, that's something that if you prefer color comics, this book is completely black and white, and it looks, some of it looks like it was drawn with a ballpoint pen.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a really, one of those really
mechanical
fine,
pencils?
I would say those really fine Sharpies, the extra ultra fines. So that can kind of drag, it when I went back and looked at the pictures, I could see how that might distract a reader.
I will agree with you. I am a big fan of the action panels in this comic book. Mm-hmm. I feel that he was going in a really wonderful direction with the action. But a lot of the story is kind of like just a kind of a lot of settings and talking.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get enough of the action panels, which I did enjoy. But like you did say, I felt that the pencil that was still in the panels was distracting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe... if they weren't there and I could focus more on the, like, darker lines, that it would
I actually hadn't noticed that, but I'm going back and looking right now because, again, I was just reading the word. But I do see what you're talking about. Yeah,
and that was distracting to me.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I feel this has a very interesting story premise, and I think it has a lot of potential, and I'm sure that he has a lot of
mm-hmm.
ideas in the backstory. And this is, I think this is a labor of love that he wants
to,
he wants to definitely do everything himself. But, you know, maybe I feel that he wanted to get it out there. Sometimes when you wait too long on a dream, it can fizzle out. So I'm thinking maybe, in association with another artist, to kind of blend mm-hmm. their merits together. I think that would make this super amazing.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you guys. Like, the solid concept. I really do love
solid concept.
The concept.
Yeah,
it's unique. It's interesting. And I, myself, my end of term paper, like, when I go back to school, like, what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Is I'm a comparative literature major, and my focus is on Japanese and Spanish literature.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly like something that I would love to write about, like the fusion of the similarities in Japanese, or like the attraction to that mm-hmm. culture, and how it varies reflected or how it's similar or sometimes can blend in really into the Spanish or the Hispanic mm-hmm. the Hispanic and Latino culture. Like, the second largest population of Japanese people is in Brazil.
Oh, wow. I had no idea.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it is. And there's a very strong Chinese presence in Mexico.
Mm.
And also in Peru.
And in Peru, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just like I said, this is a solid concept and something that I would actually, like, very much like to see
mm-hmm.
more of.
Yeah.
I am not a fan of the art.
Yeah.
I am. Can I see the book?
Yeah.
No.
And I think, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think one of the things that sometimes you don't want to let go of your baby. It's your baby. It's your story.
It's your idea.
And you want to execute the whole thing, but it's so much work.
Yeah.
And there are so many people out there that are willing to work with you and marry the story with the art. And mm-hmm. that's something that should be considered in this case.
Yeah. Like, if the art was consistent with the cover,
mm-hmm.
I would very much really love this.
Yeah.
It is, I don't want to distract people from it.
Yeah.
But it is, it looks like very, very rough
mm-hmm.
concept art.
Yeah.
That was published. And I actually really like this opening page right here.
Yeah.
This is, besides the title, this is the cleanest
mm-hmm.
that you are probably going to see it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like I said, like, it looks like it was drawn in ballpoint pen or, like, in like, some kind of, like, ink, but there's a lot of, like, pencil sketches that I think needed to be solidified or needed to be entirely
removed,
and it gets a little messy. I do have to admit that I do like the panel layout. It makes it easy to read, and I have seen Marvel books,
e-books
with shitty layout, absolutely crap layout.
Yeah, and I think people don't give enough credit to the way the art of comic book layout. I mean, it definitely makes a difference.
It has to flow well, and mm-hmm. the story has to move your eyes in the right direction.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that is a gift. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying about
Poe Noir is that with the paw, and then they had the panels within the paw. I mean, so stuff like that is really innovative to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really give props to the paneling.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like the story itself does leave me curious for more about where it's going, and he seems to have some threads laid out.
Yes.
The tidbits here and there that that shows like really thought out process, well thought out plot. But I think he would very much benefit from a different artist.
Mm-hmm. I love this panel here halfway through, I think, where he has jumped out of a window and lands the superhero landing.
Oh,
with his samurai sword in front of him. That was like, I love this panel right
and
here.
And that's what I'm talking about, the action. Mm-hmm. I'm liking the action. Oh, when he does kind of like that action. In the air kind of like kick kind of thing. Yeah. I think that's in the page before that.
Uh-huh.
I like that. I like where it's going.
When he answers the door and he's like, mm-hmm. who's there? And
I like where it's going. I do like where it's going. Sometimes it's hard to let go of your baby. You want to do it all for your baby.
Yeah, you want to. And I can understand that, but I definitely, either a different artist, and also maybe, although the dialogue is decent, I feel like it maybe needs a little bit of needs a little second looking over because in some places it reads a bit awkwardly.
Gotcha.
And but I mean I make mistakes too when I'm writing my papers and stuff like that. And sometimes you don't catch these things even though you're the one who's doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need a beta or somebody else to look over it. Like you're not. Like it can stay the same, but maybe someone to look over and just be like, wait, what is he trying to say
here?
I don't quite understand. And then you realize, oh, this is phrased maybe a bit awkwardly. I know what he's trying to say, but maybe the reader doesn't know, or maybe I phrased it awkwardly, or maybe I am thinking that the character said something before that, but that I actually didn't put in. Mm-hmm. Just kind of little minutia a bit. But, It's a solid concept.
Yeah, I totally agree. The concept is solid. The artwork definitely is very rough. But again, this is self-published. I don't know. I know I spoke to him a little bit about it, and I can't remember. I know he mentioned to me that this had been something that he had out for a while, and I spoke to so many people. I should take notes.
I agree.
For all we know, this was a first draft that he just really, like we said, people want to just get it out there. And I've heard the advice given multiple times of just do it and just get it out there and get it in front of people.
Yeah, and kudos to him. He got it out, and we're definitely interested in seeing more of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that if there was a second issue, which I don't know if there was one there or not when I was at the table, I want to know. I'm invested. I want to know what's going on. And there is a wanted sign in here where they show our protagonist. Before he's not in his samurai outfit.
Yeah. In a police outfit or something. Yes. It's a uniform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to know about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's definitely like the most interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I would definitely read further. So.
Absolutely agreed.
Mm-hmm. So, how many conchas does Samuriachi get?
I feel that this is, like, really from the heart, so I'm going to give it 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, uh-huh. 2 conchas.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I'm hooked with the story, the little things that he laid out, so I would also give it 2 conchas.
I am stuck because I don't want to give it 1, but I'm very sorry, but I'm not a fan of the art. I'm very much not a fan.
Yeah.
But
we could do halvesies.
I'll give it because, like I said, I really am interested in the story. It's good. I'm very much invested in that. That's why I don't want to give it a 1. I also don't the art. I don't want to detract people from it though, so I'm gonna give it a 2.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two all around, guys.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so Samariachi by Mark Martinez. And you can find Mark at his website, which is markeldude.tumblr.com. He's also on Twitter. His handle is Mark L Dude. That's M-A-R-K-E-L-D-U-D-E, L Dude. and also Instagram, Mark L Dude. So you can find him on those three social media networks. And maybe we'll find out if there's another Samariachi coming up.
Absolutely. One of the things they tell you, like a lot of people that are artists or know how to draw this, like always practice, practice, practice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How can you expect to just buy like, you know, pen brushes and be just like amazing?
Amazing.
Yeah.
And definitely, like, and I will say this, he already draws better than I do. Yeah. Yeah. The furthest extent of my drawing skills is maybe like a stick figure.
Yeah.
So like and I have artist friends and I know the hard work that goes into it, and I knew them in middle school when their drawings were
yeah.
were two big eyes and two big noses and stuff like that. So some of them are in art school now, some of them are actually like employed by like video game places, but I've seen their struggle and I know that sometimes it can be hard and a bit demoralizing, but definitely the best way to get better is to practice, and I've seen them like practice and keep drawing, and some of them are never satisfied, even though I'm just like, bruh, you just made like Renaissance art, right? And I'm like, you, this is so good. But definitely, like, I know I said I'm not a fan, but it's still a lot better.
Yeah, and you can see the evolution of artists from early work until, you know, their most recent work. Even my husband on his web comic, from the very, very first couple of strips that he did compared to now, he likens it to the evolution that The Simpsons made when they first came out on the Tracy Ullman show, and then evolved into their own series. His drawings, his lines were very crude, and the way that both myself and his character were drawn are completely, well, not completely different, but you definitely can see the evolution of his drawing and his skill just from continuing to do it over and over.
Yeah, absolutely.
And webcomics, I think that's a really good one, too, where you can see the evolution of an artist. I have followed some webcomics since I was in middle school, and I've seen their progression of their art as well. And sometimes they go back and they're like, I need to fix this. but, like, webcomics is a really good way of seeing how, like, maybe something starts off as not so great, but I stuck through because the idea was solid.
Yes,
was
yes.
really good, and I really liked either their dialogue or what they were doing, or like I didn't their artist style isn't what it is now.
Yeah,
it was different, and I kind of liked that. And then slowly they progressed until I preferred their more current style. But it's something that is natural that you can see, and that in itself has its charm in this book.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fair. I mean, I talked to a few artists where you'll do something, like you'll draw it in ink and pencil, and then like maybe like 5 years later you'll draw the same thing in ink and it'll be a little bit better, or maybe like in another 5 years you'll do a sculpture of the same exact thing, but it's evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll use mixed media next time. I mean, that kind of stuff.
Different media, what you use. Definitely, it looks like he was doing pen, ink, and pencil in this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his media will change. It also depends on the paper that they use.
Absolutely,
And what it is that they use to print it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as we know with comic books, a lot of the older comics have a unique style to them and a unique color to them because of the newspaper print that they were printed on, as opposed to now where it's different. It's where a lot of art is done either like through digital
art,
and in the magazine print that they use for a lot of comics now.
Or I've actually seen some of the like panel boarding that they use for comic book pages, and some artists add on like other kind of paper to make their panels, so it even adds a different texture to the whole paneling thing. So I mean, the way to do it is endless. Mm-hmm. But I do see potential, and I would really very much like to read the rest of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next on our list, guys, is Cash and Carrie.
And I think that title is so clever.
I just got it right now. I was like,
did you really?
Just right now when I read it out loud, I'm like, the? this one's written by
Julie.
I was like, she spells it differently, so I'm like,
what? Yeah, it's funny because when I went to go pick up, it was on your recommendation. Mm-hmm. You're the one who went and
talked to them,
and you mentioned it to me. So I went and sought the table out, and I opened the book, and I saw the name, and I said, oh, are you Julie? She said, oh, my gosh, thank you so much for pronouncing my name right. She's like, you're the only person who pronounced it right all day.
I was going to say something like
Gweely. She's like, some people are like, Gweely? Now, look, I think it's worth it. We should take a picture of the inscription in the front. They made it out to Comadres y Comics.
Nice. Perfect. So it's illustrated and lettered by Penny Candy Studios and created by Sean Pryor. So its main characters are Dallas Cash, an investigator and tenacious techie, and Inez Carey, investigator and captain of the wrestling team. So, which already, guys, I totally love. I totally love because the guy is the techie.
Yes.
And the girl is a wrestler.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, do not mess with this team because they got it down.
So, yeah, so his last name is Cash. Her first name is Carrie. They're Cash and Carrie. Yes. And that is so amazing. I love it.
Yes. Just that alone was totally cute. I loved it. I feel that this, I'm going to start off, this comic book I felt was like really smart and edgy. Mm-hmm. I love the writing style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying the investigation process that they go through. I mean, this is kind of a really smartly written book because they have to come up with clever ways to kind of keep you in the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But not being not, I mean, they have to carry you to like want to read more. So the investment they put into kind of being like mysterious about the whole story, I really appreciate.
Yeah, when she explained it to me, she pretty much said that it was like a cross between what's Scully and Mulder?
FBI?
No, what's X-Files? That TV show? There you go. Probably X-Files and, like, Scooby-Doo kind
of. And I got that sensation. I totally did, and I really loved it. I thought their dialogue was really edgy and cute,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time really smart because these kids are really smart,
yeah.
And I love that about this book. I really like the art as well.
The art is very... Okay, so the book that we have is the first... the first issue to this story arc, and it's actually a Kickstarter incentive cover that we have. So apparently they had this book on Kickstarter that they originally posted to garner all of the support and monetary funding to get it published. But Jen has some interesting news about that. She recently saw that it's been picked up, and it actually has a trade paperback out. Mm-hmm. And it was through, what did you say? It was through Action Lab.
Yeah. Action Lab picked them up.
And mm-hmm. I can't remember if they had the trade there or not.
I don't remember the trade at all. No.
But Action Lab is pretty, I mean, they're a pretty decent publishing company, and they publish a lot of some of the like all ages or like tweeny type stuff, and so this really fits perfectly in with the rest of the books that they have, and the fact that they got picked up by Action Lab after reading this is not a surprise to me at all.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. Agreed.
It's very, very cute, and it's very much along the lines of like Nimona and Lumberjanes mm-hmm. and Gotham Academy mm-hmm. and like oh God, what's
Jonesy.
That other one?
Jonesy.
Yes, Jonesy. Yeah, Jonesy. It's really, it's Nutmeg. Nutmeg is another Action Lab one. But this one is super cute.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love it. And it's like, it's basically like, a bit like Sherlock Holmes for kids.
Yeah. Yes. Sherlock Holmes for kids with that little added component of the, like, the sci-fi supernatural.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's my jam. Yeah. I love it. I love that.
Now, I don't know if you guys noticed, there was a little snippet in this, within the book itself. There was, like, a TV interruption. Mm-hmm. It was all of a sudden kind of stopped and went into like a whole different, where you're watching the news and then.
Oh, at the end of the book.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes, right. Uh-huh. And, I thought it was so cool because the reporter's name is Jackie Kirby. I was like, yes. What? Am I the only one who got this reference?
No, I noticed that right away.
I was like, oh, cool. That is so cool. That is a nod and homage to Jack Kirby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was super clever and cute. Yeah. So it's definitely geared for kids, but I think they do a nod to like the adult that's probably supervising their kids reading.
Yeah.
With mentioning Jackie or creating the character of Jackie Kirby as the reporter, which I thought was really cool.
It's very cool. I love YA books. I used to in college during my summer downtime, I would go to the bookstore and just buy up all the YA books, and that's what I would do. I would read like one a day just because it's so fast reading, but mm-hmm. I read probably, I don't know how many Goosebump books in college. I love YA and all ages comic books. I mean, Jonesy, Nutmeg, a lot of Namona, Ghost. Yeah, the storytelling is just so amazing. So that's just a little plug to listeners that don't let it turn you off if you think that it's a kid's book. Mm-hmm. The storytelling, it can be just as compelling as one that is rated Teen Plus or rated M for mature. Mm-hmm. Definitely give the all age books a try.
Definitely. Absolutely, yep. Agreed. So what are we going to rate this book, guys?
I give it 3 conchas. I really loved it. I mean, the first issue takes you through a story of the missing goat from a rival school. And Cash and Carrie are trying to figure out what happened to the goat. And at the end of this book, spoiler alert, the goat actually mysteriously reappears but has some, like, glowing green eyes and a glowing, like, symbol on its body.
Yes. That is cleverly covered by, like, one of those cloths that go over the body. So it's like, what does it mean?
No, you just reminded me. So, because Cash and Carrie have contacts in the other school.
Yes, like, they have contacts.
And it's really funny is that they have fake student ID cards.
Yes, so many for all the neighboring schools.
For all the neighboring schools. And I thought that was, like, that was my favorite part of that entire scene. They go to the other school and they have the fake student ID cards. And they have a friend there who tells them all the info. And they're like, we're not here to cause trouble. We're here investigating.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very clever and very, very cute.
Yeah, it was.
Totally was.
I love that they have cute little aquamarine mopeds that they get around on.
Oh, yeah.
And also their roller shoes.
Oh, yeah.
I think Cash actually at some point says, that's the way we roll. And they flicked out their roller tennis shoes.
Heelys.
Heelys. And skated away. Yeah, the writing is very clever. I laughed multiple times in reading the story. And again, the hook at the end, the cliffhanger, definitely has me wanting to read further. So there is a trade paperback that is it already available, Jen?
Yes, I believe it is already available, and I have already ordered some.
So, we are going to, on a future episode, read the entire trade, and we'll be able to let you know what we think about the whole story arc.
Excellent. So did we go?
I said 3 conchas.
Oh, okay, I'm also 3 conchas, guys, for sure. Love the art, love the characters.
And the art is so, this is an art style that I really, really enjoy with all ages books. It's very, like, chibi, cute, kawaii, like, style to me. It reminds me, actually, of Cody and the Creepies, that is a new book that's out.
I really enjoy, like, the last part of the book where they take you to through the creative process where they show you the evolution of Cash and Carrie. Yes, I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Like, you can see the wheels turning. It's so cool. I really enjoy that. I feel like, you know, I don't know. It just strikes a chord with me for sure.
How about you, Jen?
I will give it 3 conchas.
Yay.
Yay, 3 conchas, everyone. Okay, so we are going to move on to our newest addition, our segment, Juntos y Fuertes. I know that most of you listeners out there have probably already seen the Black Panther trailer. And what do you guys think?
The world is changing. Soon, there will only be the conquerors. And the conquerors. You are a good man. With a good heart. And it's hard for a good man to be a king.
So we've all seen the Black Panther trailer that is out. It just came out. What did you guys think?
Oh my God, so amazing.
I'm loving the music background. Yeah, usually I don't like really it. Good. Like for Assassin's Creed, they had a Kanye and I was like out. But this one, it's really powerful. Yeah. I really love the imagery. I love how in the background there, I believe it's his dad talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
How you're a good man. But it's hard for a good man to be a king.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
What? This is so cool. So I'm very excited about this movie. The lines are beautiful on the costume.
Yeah.
The man is impressively hot. The women are, especially like his bodyguard, the one that was going to throw down with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she's
move
beautiful.
Or you will be moved. Right? Oh, that was iconic.
So
iconic.
I love that. That all the bodyguards, all the military, the people who are the protectors on Wakanda are female.
Dora Milaje.
Yes, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I really, there's kind of like a parallel to me with the Wonder Woman movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just the fact that all these women are so kick-ass. I've just really been, ever since I saw them come out in, what was it, Civil War?
Yeah.
It was just, I couldn't wait for this movie specifically for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Black Panther in and of himself is an amazing character, an iconic character, being the first black character in Marvel Comics. But the Dora Milaje, just for me, it was like the thing that I couldn't wait to see.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see this movie. What do you think, Jen?
I'm so super excited. This teaser trailer, like, just fulfilled, like, everything that I'd been hoping for in this movie. And it's just so good. I love the music. I love all the actors that they've chosen. And Michael B. Jordan looks so
good.
So great.
Ooh, and Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, we were talking about the bodyguard. Her name is Ayo. And it's just, I'm so excited because she had that, the most kick-ass scene too, where she was like kicking ass in that casino with like, I don't know if it was a spear or just like a modified pole that she got, like that was in like her red dress. I'm just like,
yes, give me
damn.
More.
Like, oh, it was just so like,
I can't wait. I can't wait. But you know, all right. I mean, we're talking about this trailer on the, Juntos y Fuertes. And this is why. There's already an internet backlash about the Black Panther poster that,
God.
Right? They're comparing it to, that they're already complaining that it's so militant and so black.
So what's on the poster that...
There's nothing wrong with the poster. He's sitting in a chair.
Okay. I was like... Is it some weird secret poster I haven't seen?
That's what I thought too. I went online to look for this poster everybody's complaining about, and it's him sitting. He's not even holding a weapon.
Look, they were saying that it would look too much like the Black Panther Party, the Huey P. Newton, mm-hmm. and how he was portrayed in most of his photos. But let me tell you this.
So this.
That That pose itself can also be compared to Abraham Lincoln.
Yes,
than anybody
you.
On a freaking throne.
Yeah.
And you know what? If it's militant, so what? It's a black nation that has never been invaded in Africa.
Yeah.
Like, do you understand, like, what that means to people?
Yeah.
Do you know, like, they're never going to want to be invaded, and they're never, and people, fans of it, are never going to want to see it invaded.
And for those of you who don't really know a lot of the background about Wakanda and why somebody might want to invade it, they have a rich, what do you say, they have... you can only get vibranium from Wakanda.
Mm-hmm. And as for those of you who don't know, vibranium is what is used to make Captain America's shield.
And also, I think Iron Man uses it, too, for his suit.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, so it is almost
indestructible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's worth a lot of money to a lot of people. And it can only be farmed out of Wakanda. Mm-hmm. So they have something to protect.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's not to be confused with adamantium.
No.
Well, actually, in the comic books, it is adamantium. Vibranium was only created specifically for the movies because the X-Men movies had already claimed adamantium.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Look at that. I learned something new.
So,
I just wanted to sound smart.
But, so that's why in the movies it's vibranium, in the comics it's adamantium.
Okay, got it.
So, that's how Wolverine's claws were made and all that stuff. But, like, Fox got the rights to use that word.
Adamantium,
before, but Marvel was able to skirt around that and make vibranium, which is pretty cool in itself, too.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, whoa, all these cool elements.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, shame on you for complaining about something. I mean, if it's not complaining about an all-woman showing of Wonder Woman, it's complaining about a man sitting in a chair. Seriously, guys?
And that it's too black. I'm
right?
sorry. Then what's the appropriate amount of blackness? I'm sorry, I didn't know there was, like, a quota.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's called Black Panther. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, juntos y fuertes, guys. I think we should support this film. We should get out there and watch it.
Yeah.
And we should respect if there's going to be an all African-American showing. Respect that because you know what? They have a right to do their own showing if they want to. Just like women had their own right to do an all-woman showing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's support our brothers and sisters. On this, for this movie, definitely. I can't wait to see it. I think it's going to kick my butt.
I can't wait to see it either. And I'm super excited to see a lot of my friends on Facebook who are not necessarily comic book readers or movie watchers get excited about this. About this movie. They're my friends who are black and are definitely all about seeing themselves up on the TV screen in a positive, amazing kick-ass fashion. And I think that is worth all the support in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's worth all the conchas and the pan dulce and the panadería.
Yes. And go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, and like I said, and like Wonder Woman was all women, an island of just women, a paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Then this is what Wakanda is, but for a black audience.
Yes,
like, exactly.
Like seeing a powerful nation that's never been invaded, that's advanced.
Yeah.
So much more advanced than anything else in the Marvel Universe. Anything. Even Iron Man, like even Tony Stark. And it is that there are people in Wakanda that are smarter than Tony Stark.
Wow.
Yeah.
Moon Girl. Now, Moon Girl isn't from Wakanda, but that'd be great if she went to visit.
Oh, my God. I would love to see that. I would read the shit out of that issue.
That's a good little segue into our next segment, but before we move on, I just want to mention that I did a quick Google search, and actually Vibranium's first appearance was in Daredevil number 13, which was in February 1966.
Oh, cool.
Whoa.
So it has definitely, it's a big deal, and definitely I'm looking forward to seeing this movie for sure. But you made a parallel statement about how Wakanda is what Themyscira, Paradise Island, was in Wonder Woman. And another one of the Juntos y Fuertes things that I wanted to mention is about one of the actresses in Wonder Woman. Her name is Anne Wolf, and she actually played Artemis in the movie. She is a badass, badass boxer. She is amazing. She is considered one of the best fighters and hardest punchers in the history of women's boxing.
Hardest punchers.
Whoa. Hardest punchers, yes. And she's held world titles simultaneously in four different weight divisions.
Whoa. What the hell? Simultaneously?
Yeah.
What?
So she...
Has that ever been done, I wonder? Because that
I don't know.
Just seems extraordinary.
Yeah.
Four different weight divisions?
Yeah.
Wow.
So she's an athlete for sure, she, I think, embodies what Artemis is. Artemis, for those of you who don't know, is known as she's the Greek god of the hunt. Anne herself actually has a really interesting backstory. She has in her past, she was incarcerated. She was homeless for a while.
Wow.
She had, she was in a domestic violence abusive relationship in her teens. And she's also struggled with illiteracy and lost both of her parents at the age of 18.
Oh, my God.
So she really comes from a background where she had to struggle in a lot of different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she's a boxer, it's kind of just like in the embodiment of everything that she put into to fight to be where she is.
Absolutely.
So the reason why I'm mentioning her in Juntos y Fuertes is that there is a change.org petition going out, going on around the social media, and the petition is titled "We Want an Artemis Action Figure."
I totally agree.
So, and they want it to be modeled after Anne Wolf. So if you agree that she is just an amazing, amazing athlete and just person, and she did a great job in the role of Artemis in the Wonder Woman movie, definitely check out this petition and sign it. And I think it would be just wonderful to have this strong black female character have her own action figure.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, just her backstory alone, it could be like a personification of fucking the human spirit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did I just I just F-bombed. But yeah, I mean, I really feel strongly about this. I mean, you know, it's so awesome when you can, like, present your child, your little girl or little boy with such a strong figure.
Yeah.
Both in the comic book world, in the Greek mythology, and also in real life. So I say go for it. Sign that petition, guys, because I'd buy that action figure.
Yes,
I would too. Oh, my God.
So, we're moving along to On My Radar. I have an amazing, amazing thing on my radar that I just discovered this week. I was trying to catch up on all my comic book reading, and I think it's the most recent issue of Champions. It's Champions number 9, and as I was reading it, I was blown away by the fact that there is a first appearance of a brand new Latina female character in Champions number 9. Her name is Fernanda Ramirez, and she goes by the Red Locust. And the great thing about her backstory, which Champions number 9 actually has a small section in the back with her backstory. This actually was an awesome issue, Viv Vision. It was all about her and kind of going off and doing her own thing, but she comes across Fernanda, and they meet up, and they foil the bad guys. But the cool thing about the Red Locust backstory is that this is a tradition that has been held in her family for generations.
Really?
And it was the tradition for the firstborn son of every family to become the Red Locust. I mean, of every, not every family, of every decade, of every,
generation?
Generation, there you go. To become the Red Locust. But her parents never had sons.
Oh, wow.
And, she had to fight for the right. I was going to say, she's going to fight for the right
to party.
She had to fight for the chance to show them that she could do it. And the cool thing about one of the first things that she did was that she totally studied up on science. And she taught herself mechanics and chemistry and all this stuff just so that she could upgrade her suit. And the cool thing about the suit, Jen made this observation when I showed it to her. It looked like Champulin
Colorado.
Yeah, and I was like, well, you know what? It's not much of a throw to the Red Locust.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not much of a jump to that.
Yeah.
But
aren't they the same family, bug family?
Yeah. So the fact that she is the first female in her entire history of her family to become the Red Locust, and that, you know, she's, and this is kind of like her coming of superhero age story of her trying to just really fill out where she belongs. And actually, Viv, in this issue, Viv tells her that as long as the rest of the champions are down with it, that she could come be a champion.
Oh, that's nice. So cool.
So we'll see what happens when she takes it back to the rest of them. But what I really, really enjoyed, another thing I really enjoyed, there's many things, but at the end, after they've already caught the bad guy and they're just kind of sitting and hanging out and eating, Viv is eating a bowl of something and Fernanda is explaining to her that it's pozole.
Oh!
Nice. Oh my God. Yeah, and talks to her about how it's a traditional food for her family and that how the tradition goes all the way back to the Aztecs. So I thought that was just super, super cool. And the fact that we have a Latina, another Latina female superhero on the stage in the Marvel Universe is just, I love it.
We're taking over, guys, just so you know. That's so cool. I mean, have we heard of anything coming from DC at all? Just a question. I haven't really looked into it.
Other than Jessica, I don't know. I don't read a lot of DC, so there could be, and it's just not on my radar.
We'll check it out. We'll check the math out.
We'll check it out, yeah. Well, you got to read more DC now.
Yeah, definitely.
But on my radar is actually a new book that came out this week. Was it this week? It was this week. Called Baby Teeth.
Oh, yeah. Actually, was it this week? Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it was this week. So this is a new comic by Aftershock Comics, well, published by Aftershock Comics, and it is written by Donnie Cates, who is the writer of Buzzkill, Paybacks, Redneck, and God Country, with art from Gary Brown. Now, Baby Teeth is about Sadie Ritter, who is 16 years old, 9 months pregnant, and she is scared of her sweet, nerdy mind. Because she is giving birth to the Antichrist.
What the...
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so...
Oh, my God. No way. Okay, you had me at hello.
One of the founders of Aftershock, or one of the guys that is running it, comes into the shop quite often, and he described it as Juno meets Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, my God. That's such a great... Those are two great things that I love.
Oh, my God. Yep. And I'm... And I am super excited, and this is just... I just love anything that is like that. Like I've read so many comics, the Goddamned.
Yeah.
God is disappointed in you.
Oh my God.
God is dead. There's a lot of comics that are kind of revolve around this theme of Christianity and all that stuff. And I usually do like reading comics like those when they come out. But this one was really, really good, and I really liked it. And Kristen was actually the one that informed me that Baby Teeth is better than Animos, that has sold more than Aftershock's other hit, Animosity, which is also a really
amazing
good, amazing comic. And it done so well that Aftershock is offering to retailers that any store that orders 75% of their Baby Teeth number one orders for the launch of Unholy Grail will get all their orders made returnable.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, they are very confident and they're using the support and like the, I guess the benefits that come from making another hit, to support other comics. And also it's called Unholy Grail, so yeah. I'm sold.
Yeah. Well, Unholy Grail is written by Colin Bunn. And Colin Bunn is, a big Marvel writer. He does Deadpool. He does, what else has he done? I think he's been on multiple, titles, but where I love him the most is his horror books. He is the writer of Harrow County. I love Harrow County. It's just so well written and just so creepy. It's about a young coming of age story about a young girl who discovers that she's a witch.
A reincarnated
witch. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's just so good. If you've never heard of Harrow County, definitely give it a try. It's really amazing. But mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to talk to Colin at San Diego Comic-Con last summer and talked to him about how much I loved Harrow County, and he shared with me that that's really where his heart is. His heart is in those stories.
Oh, wow.
And it shows. It definitely shows.
Yeah, definitely. So he also did Night of the Living Deadpool, The Empty Man, The Sixth Gun, Volume 3, Death Follows.
Oh, yeah, Death Follows.
And Spider-Man Season 1, hardcover.
Oh, okay.
And Helheim, The Witch War.
Yeah, so he's awesome. But this, is it Donnie or Danny?
Donnie
Cates, he has blown up all over the place.
Oh, yeah, and Redneck?
So, yeah, so the fact that he is attached to this Baby Teeth, I think is definitely what has caused the numbers to just go up. And I've read it, and it's really good. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed it a lot.
Same here.
So cool.
That's why it's on my radar.
Nice. Well, what is on my radar is they are actually in talks of rebooting Hellboy. They're gonna be using Stranger Things star David Harbour. Millennium is in negotiations with producers Larry Gordon and Lloyd Levin to reboot and relaunch. Mike Richardson from Dark Horse also producing. Neil Marshall, he has hits like The Descent and his work on Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow.
So he's attached to direct this film. The working title right now is Hellboy Rise of the Blood Queen. So that's pretty interesting.
Nice. If it involves vampires, you already have my money.
What I'm interested in is the fact that you guys said that it's rated R.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Because after reading Hellboy in Mexico, I have to say that similarly to Deadpool, to do Hellboy right, I think that that rated R rating, it makes a difference.
Yeah, I think I think the studios and other producers are seeing the benefits of a rated R movie to stay true to the character.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deadpool. Thank you, Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Thank you, whoever else was involved with that.
Fox, right?
Yeah. Well, no, Fox didn't want to do it.
But they did it, right?
But they did it.
It was a Fox, right?
But they did it, and they were trying to, like, do
it. Not do it.
They cut the budget for that movie so many times, which is why they didn't have a lot of the bullet effects.
That was
the running gag for it. Mm. He counted his bullets because that's literally all they could use. and that end scene when he forgets his guns in the car is because he couldn't use them. He literally, because they couldn't do bullet effects.
I love that. That's so cool.
Funny. I know, right?
It also gives a little bit more credence to the funny line about how he talks about, you're wondering why I'm at the X-Men mansion and we're only meeting these two.
Like, there wasn't enough in the budget.
Yeah.
That was so cool. No, and I like the way they played that out. That was really cool, really clever. I can't wait till the second movie, just talking about that right now.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much looking forward to this reboot. I'm a little sad that Guillermo del Toro wasn't able to
continue on with the Hellboy movies. Also, Ron Perlman.
Yeah, I mean,
as well.
He's so iconic to that role. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be really hard for real fans to get over that, almost like how I would be going to see a new Wolverine movie without Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know if I can. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't even want to think about it, guys. But, yeah, that's on my radar.
Well, I'm excited about that, actually. I'm excited to read more Hellboy. We have a Hellboy book coming up at our weekly trade paperback discussion group at the shop. And I really am interested to, after reading Hellboy in Mexico, to continue to learn more about the character.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And I'd like to see, I mean, I'm curious to see how they're going to go with this character and, you know, the rated R rating. So I'm pretty interested. So that's on my radar. Well, guys, that brings us to the end of episode number 15. And I'd like to make an announcement, too, also. Nobody claimed any of the piñatas with the red tickets, with the red raffle tickets. So what we're going to do now is we're going to raffle them on social media. We're going to raffle them beginning on Instagram, and then we're going to share the pictures on Twitter and Facebook. And we'll include in the picture how you can win them on social media. So stay tuned for that. Follow us again on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Any shout-outs, guys?
Well, I really want to shout-out to both Eric and Jacob for being amazing helpers at our Wonder Woman Day. And everybody that came out, thank you so much for coming out and supporting 75 years of an amazing female character.
Wonder Woman! I'm sorry. I always want to throw that in there. I'm so excited about that. I am excited about our next episode where we'll be doing a full-on review of Wonder Woman, the movie, versus some of the information on the character that we've grown to love from the comic book. Any shout-outs for you, Jen?
Don't forget Twitter and Instagram.
Sorry. shout-out to Sam Humphries.
Yes!
I forgot all about that. How could we forget?
How could we forget? Congratulations, Mr. Humphries, on your wedding.
That should have been a real chisme.
You know what? I had it in mind, but then I thought, no.
It's too personal.
Yeah, it is kind of personal.
No, but I wanted to shout him out because for giving us, for tweeting at us and for telling us, for really appreciating the fact that we are doing this. And he said that, he very much likes what we're doing and that, he likes contributing, than the fact that we chose two of his books.
Yes,
absolutely. I was really surprised when he knew that we had.
Yes, I was too.
I know that we had reviewed, Black Lanterns, Jessica
Green Lantern.
Black Lantern.
Oh my God, guys, I am sorry. It's this beer. I'm telling you, beer.
Well, there are Black Lanterns, so fine.
Yeah. I'm kind of okay. And Jonesy, and I was like, he heard us?
What?
If you're listening,
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So I'm very excited about that. I mean, my dream is eventually he comes on our show and we get
to,
you know, pick his brain and hang out and drink a beer and talk about, you know, stuff.
I think Jonesy already, does she already have a second trade?
Yeah, she has a second volume out. We have it in the store.
Yeah, excellent. We could do that. That'd be so cool. So shout out to him. Thanks for bringing that up because I, you know, like, there was so much stuff to go on and then that was kind of on a personal note for us, and I thought it was just amazing.
Yeah, and actually in the same vein, shout out to all of the creators from the books that we did for the East LA Comic Con Part 1. We got a lot of really awesome, heartfelt thank yous from a lot of the creators from the books that we did in our episode 14 from Kingse, and also
it was
Poe Noir.
Oh yes, Poe Noir. And then what was the third one? I don't remember. Was it another luchador?
I really appreciate that they reached out to us, and you know, thank you so much. Stay with your projects because they're super amazing.
Yeah.
And if it comes from the heart, then it's, you know, it's awesome. So
people can tell, and people will be interested.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really like that little comment on the luchador.
Uh-huh.
He said that the name on the
yes
on the title on the cover of the was
a mistake.
Was a mistake. Okay. So I was like, uh-huh. He noticed that we noticed.
Yeah,
and so we noticed that he noticed that we noticed.
So yeah. So for those of you listening, that one of the things I said is I need to know, and now we know it was a mistake, and he's going to change it on. Future printings. Yeah.
Nice.
Excellent. And the cool thing too is that he said he totally gave us props. He said we picked up almost all of the little tidbits of things that he laid down for his story building and his world building. That
nice.
We picked up on all of the hints that he did. So
cool. Very exciting.
We pay attention.
Yes, definitely. Well, thanks, you guys. And, man, I hope to see you guys next year at the next East LA Comic Con for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so definitely follow us on Instagram at Comadres y Comics.
Tweet us on Twitter at Comic Comadres.
And definitely follow us on Facebook. We try to put up a lot of information on there, so it'd be really cool if you followed us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and just an FYI, if you have any interest in contacting us on another platform instead of Facebook, we now have an email that where you can send to us.
Yeah, it's really simple, comadresycomics@gmail.com.
And we do read our emails, guys. So if you want to complain or anything, please feel free. We love feedback. Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys, for listening. We have been your hosts. I am Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Ciao.